Blog Talk Radio.
Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson.
I'm Dr. Reggie Johnson.
We're your hosts this morning. Oh, Dr. Reggie, it was a wonderful weekend. Wasn't it a wonderful weekend? All that beautiful rain going on. It was just amazing. I know we have little issues with our mic this morning, and I apologize for it. It's going in and out. So hold on 1 second. Anyway, so we'll try to straighten this out. Anyway, we are in the discussion of money and the law of attraction, which is, of course, an Abraham Hicks teaching with Esther and Jerry Hicks. Esther is going to be in Atlanta on May the 11th, and I guess she's bringing Abraham with her. So it's a four-hour appearance on May 11th, and I'm sure you can go to the website at Esther Hicks and Company and get further details. But that's really interesting because she rarely gets here. And so things are changing. You know, there was a period here in Atlanta where they ran out all the New Age people, and they just started bypassing Atlanta and going to Asheville. But the metaphysical community has opened up even more, and in the few years that Dr. Reggie and I have been here in Atlanta. And so we're finding that these wonderful teachers are coming back to Atlanta, and we're so grateful for that. Anyway, I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our opening prayer.
And before I do, for today's lesson, I want you to know one sage and beautiful statement. Oh, I feel good, da-da-da-da-da-da, because when you feel good, you bring in the nature and energetic vibration of good, and all that can be attracted to you is good. Okay, I'm not James Brown. Heavenly Father and Mother God and Goddess, the balancer and equalizer of all things in this universe, we are so grateful to you this morning for having life, for having abundance, for having a place to live, for eating food, for ingesting and living and breathing and vibrating. Thank you for that wonderful energy that you gave us in a soul before we were even born. And we thank you for the energy to keep on creating and ideating and creating and bringing good things into the physical world. Let us manifest that for which we pray. And let us help others along the way. That's why we're here, to help others improve the quality of their lives spiritually. Let us find the enlightenment within us and pass it on. I believe it is so. And so it is.
Oh. I feel good. Dr. Reggie, you are so funny. That is today's lesson. It's about I feel good, that I feel good. You sound just, do it one more time. Can you do it? I love that scream. Ow! Okay, so you know, Jerry is asking Abraham this morning. He says, so most of what you might call my career through the years almost never began as a means to earn money. They've mostly been things that I just enjoy doing. And then I ended up making money. And so Abraham responds. He says, well, that truly is the secret to the success that you have enjoyed for so many years, because you determined early on that feeling good was what mattered most to you. You managed to find a variety of interesting ways to maintain that intention, not realizing at the time that the secret to all success is keeping yourself happy. Of course, we've heard this over and over from Abraham throughout these teachings. As a matter of fact, at one point he says, your lifetime career should be ways to be happy. That's your career, to be happy, your lifetime career. He says, many of you have been taught that your own happiness is a selfish and inappropriate quest. Selfish and inappropriate. And that your real objective should revolve around, listen to these words, commitment, responsibility, struggle, sacrifice. How many of you, when you just, even if you just think about having a career or think about a job, hear those words moving around in your spirit? Commitment, responsibility, sacrifice, struggle. What images pop up in your mind when you hear those words? Press one on your telephone keypad and share that with me very quickly. There's no right or wrong. Please, wake up, wake up. Abraham goes on to say, but we want you to understand that you can be committed and responsible and an uplifter and happy. In fact, unless you do find a way of connecting to your true happiness, all of those other quests are usually just empty, hollow words, not backed up by any true value. You only ever uplift from your position of connection and strength. You only ever uplift from your position of connection and strength. So people often say, I don't want to work, meaning I don't want to go someplace where I have to do unwanted things to earn money. And when we ask why they say what they're saying, the answer is because I want to be free. But it is not freedom from action that you are seeking, because action can be fun. And it's not freedom from money that you want, because money and freedom are synonymous. You are seeking freedom from negativity, from resistance, from disallowance of who you really are, and from the disallowance of the abundance that is your birthright. You are seeking freedom from lack. I find that very interesting. You are seeking freedom, ultimately, freedom to be able to express who you truly are. Who you truly are is the spirit, you know, that divine self that you're in, that's within us. That's who we truly are. And then he says you're actually seeking freedom from the lack of abundance. You're seeking freedom from lack. Sometimes when we're tied into a job and we're not happy there, I mean, Dr. Reggie has a saying, J-O-B means just over broke. We're making just enough money to keep our clothes clean, go to the dry cleaner, keep gas in the car, food on the table, a roof over our head, just to get to work, to come back. I mean, we're in a survival mode. We're not in an abundance mode. And that wears on us, and our freedom is taken away. We're doing something that we don't want. How many of you have experienced that? If you've been listening to Circles of Prosperity, you probably found a new job by now because you're tired of being unhappy. But I'm just curious, how many of you have gone through that? Yes, Dr. Reggie.
I have.
When I wanted to teach a class
at home.
I projected how many people I wanted in the house, in that room, to fill the space. At first, there were only two people. And I said, well, why? Because I only set up two chairs, and then three chairs, and then four chairs. One day, I just said, I'm going to do what you said, Cynthia, set out 25 chairs and see what happens and ask the universe. And I'm really happy about this, that I want to do this talk. Every single seat was filled because my joy was met with the vibration of happiness and for what I desired. And the next time, they got to a point where there were 80 people coming to the house, and it was just too much to receive these people. So it got to be overwhelming. But it was great because we built tents outside and everything. So it was wonderful. Joy follows the vibration of happiness. And I know that it has to, because if you're in a funky mood or a negative situation or resenting stuff, the good that comes to you is not there. It's neutralized. You freeze it because that's not what you want, and it doesn't resonate with that ugly vibration. So it has to leave. So always feel good no matter what you can do. It's not always easy either. But once you feel good, the feeling follows the manifestation.
Reggie, so there's a little delay here because we have to switch mics, but so I apologize for that. But that's a very good point. As a matter of fact, I remember when you put out those two chairs and only two, you said only two people showed up, and then the next week you put out, I think, seven chairs, and you said, well, only seven people showed up, and I said, well, the first time you put out two chairs and you had two people, then you put out seven chairs and you had seven people, why don't you put out 20 chairs, 25? And we ran to Sam's Club to buy those chairs, and it filled up. It filled up. You know, but you were moving in your joy because you wanted to teach. He wanted to teach. You know, things don't happen. Sometimes it takes time for our faith to grow, to move into faith. And that's what takes time. That's why your manifestations sometimes take time. I think it was Kathy that said, it doesn't happen overnight. It was either Kathy or Erica. This just doesn't happen overnight. And I hesitate to say it doesn't happen overnight because I understand the reality, the true reality of the power that we have, and it can happen overnight, but it depends on you. It depends on if you're feeling good. It depends on if you have absolutely no doubt. It depends on how strong your belief is. It depends on if you feel good and you're not consumed in fear. It can happen overnight. And you know what? Even if it takes time for it to manifest, every day you're moving towards the manifestation. So every day there's a little miracle that is happening overnight. Right, Dr. Reggie?
Yes, it is.
So that's okay. So he Abraham says that whenever you feel a negative emotion, that is your emotional guidance system giving you an indication that you are in that moment looking at negative aspects of something. And in doing so, you're depriving yourself of something that is wanted. If you will set an intention to look for positive aspects in whatever you are giving your attention to, you will begin to immediately see the evidence of the lifting of patterns of resistance as the universe is then allowed by your shift in vibration to deliver your long-wanted desires to you. That's why I told Cody, I said, Cody, what is it that you really want to do? Cody said, I want to mentor young men. I want our young people. I think it's men. I want to be a mentor. Okay, that's what you really want, but he's over here in relating to what? Struggle, commitment, responsibility, and I believe that those things have a negative connotation for him on some level, right? So why did I recommend that he go volunteer to begin to shift? If he's doing something that he really loves, his whole vibration shifts. The energy around him shifts. You know, rather than you walking into his presence and feeling this sadness and this worry, you're going to walk into his presence and feel happiness and joy because he's doing something that he loves, even though it's part-time, even though it's just a hobby, even though he's volunteering. If you want to change your life, you got to do something to shake things up. You know, there's this guy, I think Dan Ramsey, Ramsey is his last name, and he has this show called, he's a financial guy that kind of teaches you how to get out of debt, being totally debt-free, and he says, one of the things he says, when you're in a huge amount of debt, you have to throw dynamite in there and blow things up. What is he saying? He's saying you have to shift the energy. And one of his recommendations is just getting rid of a lot of stuff, selling a lot of stuff, you know, and letting it go. He is shifting energy, whether he realizes it or not. That's what he's doing. He says you got to shake, you got to blow it up. Blow it up. And break up the debt. Shifting the energy. Let's listen to further what Abraham has to say. He says, people often move from job to job, profession to profession, employer to employer, only to find the next place no better than the last. And the reason for that is that they take themselves everywhere they go. Dr. Reggie says, no matter where you are, there you are. So when you go to a new place and you continue to complain about what was wrong with your last position in order to explain why you came to this new position, the same vibrational mix of resistance goes with you and continues to prevent the things you want from coming to you. How many of you are laughing right now because you can see that part of you? You know you've done that before. How many of you are laughing? I am. I did that. So the best way to accomplish an improved work environment is to focus on the best things about where you currently are until you flood your own vibrational patterns of thought and appreciation. And in that changed vibration, you can then allow the new and improved conditions and circumstances to come into your experience. What are they saying here? How do we break that down? It's very simple. What do you appreciate about the job? They call this appreciative inquiry. They have a whole theory about this now, technology, where they're going into companies and saying, listen, if you want to change things in your company, you need to start focusing on appreciative inquiry. Focus on the things that you're doing right. Not the things you're doing wrong. You get a bunch of managers together, they will all complain about what's wrong, what's not working. They never acknowledge what is working. They're always trying to fix. But what's the language that they use? This isn't working. This doesn't work. We have a problem over here. And what do we know about language?
It creates.
What you talk about, what you think about, you talk about. What you talk about, you bring about. So they begin to solve a problem, not by acknowledging what they do right and try to carry that over into to correct the things that are not working as well. They acknowledge what's not working. Abraham is saying acknowledge and appreciate what is working. Some worry that if they follow our encouragement to look for good things about where they are, it will only hold them longer in an unwanted place. But here's what thing he says, the opposite is really true. And this is what he's going to explain it, why it works. In your state of appreciation, you lift all self-imposed limitations. And all limitations are self-imposed. And then you feel yourself for the receiving of wonderful, I'm sorry, you free yourself for the receiving of wonderful things. So it's like building a brick wall. And every brick is saying, I don't want, and you have cement that you're laying in between those bricks and you're building it, every layer, I don't want. I don't want every brick. I don't want. I don't want. And you're building this huge wall. This is wrong. This makes me mad. This person gets on my nerves. I don't like doing so and so. Everything that's making you miserable is adding to this huge wall, solid brick wall. How do I break through that wall? I have to weaken that wall. I'm trying to lay out resistance. I can't get through that wall by saying I don't want, because every time I say what I don't want, I'm adding a brick to the wall that's blocking what? My joy, my success. I won't have enough money to make this transition. I don't have enough money. Another brick, another brick. Another brick that is blocking your building the wall to block your blessing. I want you to remember that visual the next time you say, I don't want, I don't have, I can't. It's impossible. You are building a brick wall to that which you do want that will block you from that which you do want. In your state of appreciation, you lift all self-imposed limitations. I want, I enjoy this part of my job. I enjoy the fact that I have benefits and that I can go to a doctor and see what, I enjoy find things that you love. I enjoy that I don't have to be here until 9:30 instead of 8:30. What is it that works for you? Because in that appreciation, you begin to tear down the brick wall of resistance. Jerry then says, Abraham, well, what is the role of appreciation in the creation equation? And how does a condition of appreciation equate to what's called the attitude of gratitude? Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, I learned to decide what I wanted and then to focus on it or think about it until it came into being. In other words, I set goals and timetables for their achievement. But then after meeting you, I became aware that most of what I would describe as the most wonderful things that came into my life weren't so much things that I had specified that I wanted, although much of that came to pass also. What actually manifested was the essence of something that I had greatly appreciated. In other words, I knew Esther for years before we came together, and I never wanted her through those years. But I did greatly appreciate so many aspects of who she was, and then she and all of her delightful aspects came completely into my life. And look at what a magnificent difference she has made in the joyous aspects of my life. Isn't that awesome? He appreciated her qualities, You know, he never said, oh, I want her to be my wife. A lot of people go, oh, I look at this person and I want that person in my life. That's my husband. That's my wife. You know, but he said, I just appreciate who she is. I think he recognized her spirit first. Mm-hmm. He said, and then he goes on to say, I also read the Seth books over and over and never desired to have a Seth in my life, but I greatly appreciated the teaching of that non-physical entity named Seth, as well as Jane Roberts and Robert Butts, who facilitated that experience. And now, here you are, not Seth per se, but you bring with you the essence of everything that I appreciated so much about Jane and Rob and Seth's phenomenal metaphysical experiences. So he attracted the Abraham entity because of his appreciation of the Seth entity. He appreciated the work that they did. I would imagine that he was totally fascinated by it and probably saying inside, how do I get to experience that? It's an amazing thing. And he manifested it. And over 40 years ago, I was visiting a family near San Francisco who earned their money from a very basic, almost primitive mail order lapidary business that they conducted from their home. I never ever said that I wanted that business, but in my appreciation, I told thousands of people the story of that experience. And then one day, and it was about 20 years ago, as I was at the post office picking up orders for some teachings of Abraham recordings, I realized that I was now experiencing the essence of that mail order business that I had appreciated so much. And now look at how many millions of people have been positively touched as a result of the business aspects of disseminating this philosophy. And he goes on and on about different aspects of his life where he realizes that he appreciated certain things, and then he recognized that which he appreciated had manifested in his life. So there's a connection between appreciation and desire and manifestation. He finally says, Abraham, would you please respond to my perspective regarding the emotion of appreciation? And Abraham says, well, the vibration of true love, that feeling of being in love, that feeling that you have sometimes when you see someone and you feel like you are moving through one another, the feeling that you have when you are looking at the innocence of a child and feeling the beauty and the power of that child, love and appreciation are identical vibrations. Appreciation is the vibration of alignment with who you are. It is the absence of resistance. You're not building a brick wall here. It is the absence of doubt. It is the absence of fear. It is the absence of self-denial. It is the absence of hatred toward others. Appreciation is the absence of everything that feels bad and the presence of everything that feels good. And when you focus upon what you want, when you tell the story of how you want your life to be, you will come closer and closer to the vicinity of appreciation. And when you reach it, it will pull you toward all the things that you consider to be good in a very powerful way. But conversely, let us talk about the difference between, let's say, gratitude and appreciation. Many people use the words interchangeably, but we do not feel the same vibrational essence in them at all. Because when you feel gratitude, often you are looking at a struggle that you have to overcome. In other words, you are happy that you are still not in the struggle, but there is still some of that struggle vibration present. In other words, the difference between inspiration, which is being called to who you are, and motivation, which is trying to make yourself go somewhere, if there's a similar difference. You know, motivation to me, you go and someone says something really wonderful and you're just inspired, you know, and you say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get it. But it's kind of like artificial inspiration. Because the moment you leave that room or you turn off that tape, you go right back to where to, you know, doing the stuff that you were doing, being in the funk that you were being. And that's what he's saying. Inspiration is coming from within. Motivation is coming from without. To change your life, it has to be an inside job, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Someone can't. That's why I tell you guys all the time, I cannot do this work for you. I can teach you and I can plant seeds, but you have to grab hold of this and do the work. And a lot of people call into Circles of Prosperity for the motivation, for the, you know, but I'm not, I don't want to motivate you. I want to transform you, but I can't do the work. You have to do the work. You have to grab hold to this and say, I own this. I own this truth principle, and my life changes today. Appreciation is that tuned in, tapped in, turned on feeling. Appreciation is vibrational alignment with who I have become. That state of appreciation is me being in sync with the whole that of that which I am. Being in the state of appreciation is seeing whatever you are looking at through the eyes of Source. And when you are in that state of appreciation, you could walk down a crowded street with all kinds of things that a lot of people would find reason to criticize or to worry about, but you would not have access to them because your vibration of appreciation is picking out for you the things of a different vibrational nature. So a state of appreciation is a state of godliness. A state of appreciation is being who you really are. A state of appreciation is who you were the day you were born and who you will be the moment you die. And it would be if we were not standing in your physical presence right now, it would be our quest in every moment. So Joseph Campbell used the word bliss. And we think it is equal. Follow your bliss. But sometimes you cannot get a whiff of bliss from where you are. So we say, if you are in despair, follow your revenge because it is downstream. If you are in revenge, then follow your hatred because it is then downstream. If you are in hatred, follow your anger. Because it is downstream. If you are in anger, follow your frustration because it is downstream. If you are in frustration, follow your hope because it is downstream. And if you are in hope, now you are in the vicinity of appreciation. I love that. Now, if you guys have been following Circles of Prosperity, you know what she means when she moves into, or Abraham talks about going downstream. When we are going upstream, we're struggling against the current. But when we're going downstream, we're moving with the flow of life. And notice how Abraham is taking us from the most negative emotion and gradually moves us towards appreciation. So Abraham is recognizing that it is a process if you are way off into negativity to get to appreciation. But they say, here we go. You got to do the work. If you are in despair, then follow your revenge. Each step is increasing your vibration. Each step is increasing your vibration. So once you get into the vibration of hope, now begin making lists of things that you feel good about and fill your notebooks full of them. Make lists of positive aspects. Make lists of things that you love. Go to the restaurant and look for your favorite things and never complain about anything. Look for the thing that you like the best. Even if there was only one thing in all of it that you like, give it your undivided attention and use it as your excuse to be who you are. And as you use those things that shine bright and make you feel good as your excuse to give your attention and be who you are, you will tune to the who you are, and the whole world will begin to transform before your eyes. It is not your job to transform the world for others, but it is your job to transform it for you. A state of appreciation is pure connection to Source, equaling and meaning God, where there is no perception of lack. Oh, my God. I am going to end this lesson here today. I know it's a little short on our time, but I just think it's so powerful. And I'm going to open up the lines now. If you have questions or comments on this lesson this morning, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. Otherwise, I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer. But I do want to hear from you.
Press 1.
Press 1. Wake up. My babies are asleep this morning, Dr. Reggie. It's Monday morning. I can't do it to them. They sleep. Well, we love you anyway. Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Reggie.
Thank you, Father, for this beautiful and illuminating lesson today. It's very powerful. Let us remember to be in our joy. It can only emanate seeds of wonderful vibration and bring the things that we want to us and eliminate the things that we don't want. Let us be in our joy to follow the example of the Christ, J-O-Y. They used to tell us in Sunday school that Jesus first, others next, and yourself last, because he who is last shall be first. God will exemplify who you are. So be in your joy. And remember, a smile doesn't cost you a dime. And feeling good doesn't cost you a dime. I appreciate even walking and looking at trees and everything that's moving, and be one part of the universe with those things that are. We believe this is so, and so it is.
And so it is.